Welcome to Esposito, Episode 5. My name's Tom, I'm the GM for this game. Thanks for listening, we really appreciate it. If you want more information about the podcast, check us out at esposito.wordpress.com or find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching for Esposito. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, share this podcast around, we'd really appreciate it. But now, straight on to the show.
Last time on Esposito.
The executive sort of walks into the middle of, takes a few steps forward, and he starts to glow blue. He looks at the commander and says, "Take care of this." Railgun after railgun firing, taking huge chunks, and you can tell that the weaponry on it is far in advance of what the Callistus had, and it doesn't stand a chance. It is ripped apart in a matter of minutes. But you scan, and there is one planet within range that you feel would have a breathable atmosphere.
Let's make a course for that planet.
You see one of the escape pods. The door on it seemed to have sprung open, and there's nobody inside. Probably wanting to talk to the Shining Guild. They run this town. I mean, most of them hang out at the Coronet down there. But I wouldn't recommend going there. It's a shady place. One of the Prometheans changes the channel as the match finishes. And you see a face on the screen, which you recognise. You realise the same face of the man in the sharp suit and the long silver hair. Thank you, that was Venom Page, Deputy Chief Operating Officer of Revesis and the sole survivor of the destruction of the HWBC Callistus, which we have just heard about recently. Again, information is still coming in, but the Sylvain Security Forces and the Infinity Corps are calling the attack a terrorist incident and attributing it to a group quickly being known as, by the media, as the Epsilon Shift.
Do you want to go see that gang there or something? Or
yeah, let's get out of the bar.
So you come out and you're not sure where this bar is. You sort of look around a bit. There's no particular signs for it.
Do we know what it's called?
No one's told you yet. I don't think.
Do you want me to grab another passerby?
Oh God, yeah, you know where it is. You know what it's called.
Can I just pop back into Argos?
You walk in and so if he's just sort of in the doorway looking at his Winchester. He says, No, sales are final. No refunds. No,
that's fine. I like everything. As far as we know, in the last 5 seconds, has been working fine.
He holds the Winchester quite protectively back from you over like this.
It's fine. If I really wanted it, I'd take it. But I don't. It's fine.
His eyes. You notice his eyes dart to the corner where that machine gun, that sort of Gatling gun, the barrel machine gun hooked up to a computer is. And you see his hand just slowly.
No, honestly, it's fine. I don't want it right now. Later, maybe.
He's still holding his hand over a wrist-mounted computer.
Okay, I'm just wondering. So we've been told about this bar that's run by a gang, and mostly like most of the customers are gang members, but we don't know what it's called or where it is.
Well, you really are new in town, aren't you?
I mean, why would we lie about that?
He relaxes a bit, and he sort of laughs sort of under his breath. You'll be looking for the Coronet, it's called. Opposite from my shop, you'll go down a small alleyway, take your first left down to Knuckle Alley. That's where you're looking. Keep going down there, you'll find the Coronet.
Sounds legit. Thanks very much. Enjoy the Winchester.
I will. Or at least I know people who will.
That sounded creepy. Okay, thanks. Bye, Argos.
Argo!
Yeah, whatever.
Knuckle Alley doesn't sound ominous in any way, shape, or
form. Like, we need to go down an alleyway to Knuckle Alley. Do the big guys want to go, like, one in the front, one in the back, just, you know, to keep us soft, squishy guys?
Hey, one in the front, one in the back to Knuckle Alley.
Oh, God, it's not that kind of show. I might have to release some errata for place names.
So who's knuckling up front?
I'll go through at the back.
So you all take up the rear.
Yeah, I'll do the rear.
So cheap. I feel cheapened by all of this. So yeah, you go across the town square and you go straight down the alleyway opposite and again make your first left. The streets are very narrow. You can see why they're called alleyways, and the houses on either side are sort of cobbled together again out of sort of corrugated iron and bits of old spacecraft and basically whatever they can find. And whilst there is a couple of sort of actual buildings on the town square, the streets very much descend into what you would sort of describe as a shanty. As you continue down this this alleyway, quite soon after, the alleyway opens up to your left into a very large courtyard, which is full of people around tables drinking and sort of chatting to each other. And you take this quite quickly to be the Coronet. And it's less of a bar or a club, but sort of just more of a wide open space filled with crates and barrels. There's quite a few sort of muscular Kesh and Matakai sat around laughing, and a lot of them are chewing on leaves, and their mouths and teeth are stained red and bright red with saliva drooling out of their mouths. As you walk in, they seem to watch every move you make as you enter. But the courtyard's busy. Sort of several tables made out of upturned boxes and crates. Most of them are occupied. You see two Prometheans sort of kissing in the corner, getting quite physical. No one's paying them any mind, but it's that kind of place, you know. It's sort of...
Welcome to Knuckle Alley, everyone.
Absolutely. Roll a quick perception check for me.
Oh, shit. Natural one.
I got an 18.
I got an 18 as well.
We're just really good at noticing things.
That's why we...
I'm just so disgusted by the Prometheans in the corner.
Mike, what did you roll?
A 10.
So you notice, all you notice is that a lot of the patrons have a yellow piece of fabric tied around their upper arm with sort of... which is sort of straggly hanging down. But overall, the whole courtyard sort of bustling with noise, dancing, revelry. There's a few people who sort of stand out slightly. In the corner, there's a small crowd that's gathered, sort of that are circling two shirtless men who are sort of occasionally grappling and swinging punches at each other. And every now and then, the sound of a good hit raises a cheer from the crowd. As a small sort of Kesh moves his way through the crowd, taking bets on a little data pad. At the rear of the courtyard, there's a small door out of which scantily clad men and women occasionally walk out bringing drinks. On the other side of the courtyard is another door with a pink neon sign above it that just says Cakes Parlour. And sort of by that is a quite odd-looking man. He's sort of slightly... He seems like he doesn't fit in quite so much. I've forgotten what bloody race he is.
Not important. We don't see colour.
I feel like you're pretty hung up on that.
Yeah, sorry. We'll edit that out. He's sort of sat there. He's also a Kesh. So there's quite a few Kesh, quite a few Matakai around. That's where you are.
I go up to the bet man taking bets, and I say to him, "How do I get involved in the next fight?"
Ah, fighting. Fighting, fist fighting is absolutely something we can offer. We have, just give me your name, give me a sign up, the 20 credit down payment sort of refundable deposit. Cover any medical bills if we should need to patch you up, but...
That's not going to be a problem.
I love the trading standards in this gang bar.
I hand over the 20 credits. My name is... Facts.
Just going to roll...
Facts machine ye.
Okay, so I actually rolled an insight check to see what he thought about your big and pause there, but he actually rolled a crit one on that, so he's totally fine with you being called Facts.
Does he not actually now think he's called Facts?
Facts. Yes, well, and he writes down Facts.
Sorry, I had to ruin that.
I think I met your cousin once. Danone.
Jesus. While Pax is doing that, anyone else doing anything differently?
I kind of want to go and have a look near it, like Cake's Parlour.
I want to go with.
Yeah.
Okay, D4, so... can you stay and stabilise Fax when he inevitably gets knocked out? Crocubot are going to go and talk to the Kesh at Cake's Parlour.
I'm proficient at medicine.
We're also really good at splitting the party, guys. Every session.
That's where the drama is. That's what the people want.
Okay, so yeah, you walk over to the door of Cake's Parlour.
That's where the Kesh is, right?
Yeah, there's a Kesh by the door.
Hey, buddy. What's your name, guy?
He sort of looks up at you as you approach, and he looks slightly unnerved at first, sort of thinking... He looks as though he thinks he might have been found out about something, but he sort of quickly catches on and goes, Malcor, I guess you're out of place as I am in this cesspit, yes?
Yes.
I mean, we're in a gangster's cake shop. We're all pretty out of place.
So yeah. So you're out of place. What's with that? Where's your place? Where do you belong? Where do you call home? Where do you hang up your hat?
Anywhere but here, I'm afraid. I'm from Peloton myself, but I don't usually find myself in these places. He sort of looks from one side to the other side and for a moment says, anyway, it's not my business to talk. Please, you know, go along. Have a nice day.
Well, I mean, as you're such a friendly, approachable guy, nice. What was your name, by the way?
Melkor.
Oh, Melkor. As you're such a friendly, approachable guy, Melkor, so there was an escape pod that sort of landed nearby on the planet, just on the outskirts of the town, and the person that was in it isn't there. We're hoping to find them. Do you know where they might go, who we should talk to about that? Like, you got any information?
Well, if anything happens in this town, it's the Golden Guild who know.
And they are the people that run this area.
Yeah,
I would assume the men with the yellow on their arms.
He leans back and just sort of slowly gestures to the entire bar.
So, okay, but we can't talk to all of them. Is there like a person we should talk to? Like...
He interrupts you. So, you're telling me that you're not with the guild? You don't know the guild. You have no ties to the guild.
We are guildless. We are sans guild. We are anti-guild. We are sub-guild. We are all around.
If you were measuring levels of guild, we're sort of in a deficit right now.
We would be in negative equity of guild.
Yeah.
You see something in his face just instantly shift. Like his demeanor totally changes as soon as you say that. Oh, God, thank God, please... I've been trying to keep up a facade around this place, but it's absolutely eating me. I need your help.
What's up, buddy? What's on your mind?
I'm here tracking someone. I'm looking for someone. It's my partner. He's gone missing, and I do believe that the guild may have something to do with it.
Can I do an insight check on to see if he's right? That's a 14.
Yeah, but I mean, best as you can tell, he seems like he's fairly on the level. He seems a bit uptight. The one thing you are sure of is he's not like the other boys. You know, he does seem like he sticks out a little bit here.
Is he sensitive and soulful, and does he see me who I really am?
He's so sensitive. He's got a tattoo.
Where is your tattoo, soulful man?
That's rather a forward question. Please, can we stay on topic? My partner, Druso, he went missing almost a week ago, and I know that the guild must have something to do with this. I've sometimes seen him hanging around with rather insidious, unsavoury-looking types, and I am worried.
Okay, I've got some questions.
Yes.
What's in it for us? I'm just going to list them off and you can answer them in whatever order you like. What's in it for us? What's your business? And can I have more incentive to care? I'm not saying I don't care.
I need to add, where are your cakes and can I have one?
I don't think he runs the cake shop.
Yeah, you just get the sense that he's coincidentally sat next to the massive door saying cakes. So, I guess I could pay a small fee for any help. I was hoping for some common decency to still be alive in this town, but apparently not. he sort of looks at Ozan. I suppose if you can bring Druso to me, I could transfer for 300 credits to you now.
I mean, what do you do for money? Like, what's your business?
It's rather strange, but I make aprons.
What, like for cooking with?
Well, somebody's got to make aprons. Everybody needs an apron.
That is a fair point, and I've never considered who makes them.
This is the curse of the aproneer.
is that what we're calling this chapter of the podcast? The curse of the aproneer.
Like, I've got more questions now, if anything. Like, why do you make aprons in this, like, far-flung planet that's not even, like, registered? Why do you make your aprons here? Who do you sell them to? What's your business style? Like,
the cornerstone of their economy.
Maybe they sell them in Argos.
Yes, Argo is one of our primary distributors.
You know what? Your bizarre business choices are your own concern. The fact that you make aprons out here, it endears you to me. You've actually found that thing.
I guess I could throw in an apron.
Can we have two?
Let's go one better. Due to your connections, I would assume, with the baking sector of this community, if you can secure us all lifelong discounts with all baked goods.
Well, I have been supplying the Dofrau line to the baking business in Peloton for quite a while.
The Dofrau line?
Yes, the Dofrau line of aprons. They're quite popular with the baking community.
You know what? Yeah, sure. I asked you to incentivize me to give me something that would make me care more. And you know what? You found it. You hit that sweet spot. I am on board. I am fully behind this quest. What do you want us to do?
Any information you could give me on Druso would be extremely welcome. But if you could bring him back to me, please. I really fear that he's fallen in with the wrong crowd.
Okay,
we'll go one better. I draw my sword. We'll cut a bloody swathe through these gang members and possibly bring him back alive.
Ozan, remember what we said? Remember the conversation we had about not doing that as the first go-to?
Oh, well, we've talked. We've done talking. We've been nice.
I feel like we need to try a bit harder.
Meanwhile, back over at PAX, there are two humans fighting, and one of them has just got the other one sort of bent over double, and he just keeps working the stomach, and eventually...
Welcome
just
to Knuckle Alley.
Yeah, come on, how old are we?
If you wanted us to be mature, you shouldn't have called it Knuckle Alley.
They do bare fist fighting.
Sure. That's not all they do, bear.
Bear fight fisting?
Oh no.
So much worse.
Oh god. So,
so let's see those fist facts.
Fuck it, there's two people having a fight, one wins. Oh, you people. As the fight ends, there's a huge cheer from the crowd as one of the men just falls unconscious on the floor. Pat, D4, are you there?
Yes.
Can you both roll a quick perception check for me?
11,
yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the fight finishes and you see two Matakai sort of approach Silas, take their money and walk off. With that, the fight sort of ended and the betmaster sort of comes over to you and says, well, do you feel like you'd be ready for a challenge?
Absolutely.
Please, these fights are strictly unarmed combat. No weapons. If you'd just like to step into the ring, any outside influence or interfering will be strictly frowned upon. It will result in the loss of your deposit and any winnings therefore.
Fine. And I hold out my hand as I see him chewing that red stuff, and I ask him to spit into my hand.
He just looks at you like quite confused but also indignant, and he chews a couple of times, like, and he looks at you in the eye, and then he does what you say. He does spit in your hand, but he does it with genuine extra flavor, like he proper like and just spits into your hand this mush of green and red slime.
I stare at him dead in the eyes, widened, and I wipe it across my face.
Oh. He see what Knuckle Alley does to people.
Roll an intimidation check.
Oh shit! Not my forte. 10.
He looks at you, builds and matches you stare for stare, and then goes, and he sort of slaps you on the back and like spins you around and pushes you into the center of the ring. With that, the small betmaster sort of riles up the crowd again. Gentlemen, gentlemen, we have another challenger in the ring. Please welcome Mthax, who is going to be facing our newest recruit into the fighting of the coronet. This is, and he looks down at a piece of paper, Mendix. And this reasonably scrawny guy comes out from the crowd. He is sort of wearing these sort of linen trousers. He's got these sort of two linen wraps around his wrists, and he's sort of doing some sort of like boxing punches into the air. He puts his hands up into the air and the whole crowd gives a bit of a cheer.
I spit.
Okay, so yep, you spit on the floor, and Silas sort of comes. Silas is the Betmaster. Now you know his name. He walks into the centre of the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know the rules. There's no need to dither about this much longer. I give you your two competitors, Mthax and Mendix. And there's another cheer, and he goes, 3, 2, 1. And Pax, can you roll initiative?
21.
Okay. The Betmaster just shouts, fight! And yeah, what do you do?
I run straight up to him full pelt and go for a uppercut with my right.
Go for it, roll an attack.
Fuck. 5. I suppose I'm not proficient with my fists.
He takes a bit of a back step out of the way, and you just sort of miss that. As you're sort of off balance, he brings his fist sort of down on the back of your sort of head for a 14.
Am I still wearing my heavy armour?
No, you'll just have your 10 plus your dex.
Okay, that's to hit then. Oh, wait, did you say... Yeah, you said 14, yeah.
Yeah. So he comes down with 3 damage on the back of your head. Then that'll go to your turn.
I kind of push off the floor with my left hand and swing backwards with my right elbow. Try and crack him across the jaw.
Very nice. Roll an attack.
That would be a 19.
Yep, 19 does hit. Now you're not proficient with your fist, are you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in real life, or
we all will be after Knuckle Alley.
So you sort of whip your elbow back and sort of crack him in the face. Can you just roll a D4 for me?
That's a 2. Do I plus my strength or?
Yeah.
5 then.
5. So usually. An unarmed attack would just be 1 damage, but in sort of an organised fist fight, we'll have them as D4s.
Okay. Because I'm two-handed combat, can I do a left hook as well?
No, you won't get the bonus attack there, because they don't get... Strangely, fists don't count as light weapons.
Interesting. I've got heavy fists.
So you whip your elbow back and crack him just right in the chin, and he sort of grabs his chin and sort of... takes a couple of steps back. After he gets his sort of his senses back and you're sort of just standing up, he charges towards you. Oh, for an 11.
That's a miss.
So he charges towards you. Do you know what? As he's charging towards you, he misses the attack, but how do you want to deal with it?
So as he misses, all of his force goes forward. I sidestep him and I bring up... So is it just fisticuffs, this?
Just fisticuffs.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to...
And I just shoot him in the back of the head.
No, I was going to use my...
The crowd goes silent.
I was going to use my foot.
Oh, no, you can... Yeah, sorry, it's unarmed combat. It's not boxing. You can...
Oh, okay. As he's low towards the ground, I lift up my right leg and just stamp on the back of his head.
Oof. Yeah, so roll an attack for that.
That's a 15.
Yeah, so that does hit. Roll another d4 for me.
That's a 3. That's sorry, 4.
Okay, so and you just stamp on the back of his head, and he sort of goes down on the floor, and he sort of brings his... He sort of, like, picks himself up onto his elbows. Roll a dexterity save for me.
13.
So he rolls over, and as he rolls over, he throws a huge handful of sand into your face.
Oh, boo.
Which goes all sort of in your eyes. And you bring your hands up, but you just get sort of slight particles in your sort of eyes. And so you'll make the next attack with disadvantage. He also uses his movement to sort of get back up to his feet.
Okay. I drop to the floor and swing my right foot around and sweep his legs.
Okay, yeah, roll an attack.
That's a 11.
Yeah, that misses.
Oh, wait, I've just disadvantaged, so even worse. An 8.
So, yeah, as you sweep the leg, he sort of jumps over your leg and brings his other foot round in line with your face with a sort of flying kick. For a 13?
That matches it. So, yeah, that's it.
So that just cracks you in the side of the face and does 4 damage. And you sort of go down again on slightly onto the floor, onto your hands and knees, and the crowd give a huge cheer.
Okay. I do... I front flip from from the floor and use my momentum to use both feet to kick him in the face.
Okay, instead of rolling an attack, roll an acrobatics check for me.
Okay, that is a 3. It's a 13, but I'm going to double my acrobatics because I can do that once per long rest, double the proficiency, so I'm going to make that a 15.
Okay, so you sort of flip and bring your feet up and just kick him right in the side of the head. Roll another damage on that.
That's a 5.
Okay, so and he just sort of goes down, and again he sort of stumbles up to his feet and there's blood pouring out of his nose. Roll a perception check for me.
Yeah, that's 6, 7.
He sort of brings his hands up to his face, and he's snarling, and he runs at you and swipes towards your face. For a critical hit.
Shit.
And what you don't notice is he actually, you feel a slice across your cheek, quite a deep, sharp slice.
Ooh,
you feel the sort of hot trickle of blood running down your face as he hits you, and you take 9 damage.
Jesus. Okay.
And D4, you notice that he sort of throws his hand to the side, and you see this sort of glint in the sand where he's clearly discarded a small razor blade that he's picked out from his wrist wraps.
Ooh, that man's cheating.
No one pays you a blind bit of attention.
I said, that man's cheating. What's wrong with you, though, that?
Your voice is just lost underneath the cheers and the excitement.
I say so.
Okay.
Come now, that's not on.
This is your turn, Pax.
It's just not cricket.
I'm going to use my second wing second wind feature.
Okay.
That's 1d10 plus 2 to my HP, which gives me 10, 12 points of HP.
Oh, shit, and Ellie's just made you mad.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
I touch my cheek and I can't tell whether it's the mucus red or the blood.
Yeah, mixing in with all that saliva and mucus, you're probably going to need to get that cleaned out.
Okay, I'm so angry right now. I charging headbutt him.
Yeah, so you just dive in. Roll another attack roll.
That is a shameful 5.
You sort of charge in and he sort of grabs you and you sort of end up in a bit of a grapple. And he sort of brings his hand up and punches you straight in the stomach for 5 damage.
Right, come on. I push him off me and then do another little spit to the side. This time I see blood in my spit and this really enrages me. I come at him with a flying kick to the chest.
Yep, roll that.
I really hope you hit this, because otherwise you just land you on the floor. Oh.
That's a natural 1.
Oh. So you run and you dive towards him with your feet straight out, and he just sort of backs out of the way. As soon as you land on the floor on your back, he jumps down on you, starts with the ground and pound.
Welcome to Knuckle Alley, everyone.
He sort of puts one knee on either side of you, and he comes in for... A hit for only 12. Is it for 12
attacks? What?
Does 12 hit?
Oh, right. I've been damaged.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, no, that doesn't hit.
Okay, so he brings his fist down and you sort of get your hands up to the to guard, but you're currently on your back and he's sort of got you pinned.
Can I... do I see the shiv in his hand?
He's dropped it.
He's dropped it. Oh, okay. I'm going to try and grab both of his wrists like that and twist them to break his arm.
Yeah, it's I would say first it's probably a dexterity check.
Okay.
So you can like physically get him in that position.
23, sorry.
So you get his arm into a sort of an arm bar and roll him over to the side. Now roll a strength contest.
12.
So it's actually enough. He rolled terribly. So you sort of put all of your weight into his arm, and you hear him sort of let out a huge yelp of pain. He's going to try and break out of that. Can you roll another strength check?
15.
He tries to break out of that, and you just lean on and you sort of pile the pressure on. And then there's just this huge crack as you feel his elbow just sort of give way the wrong direction and sort of...
Oh, you broke it at the elbow. That's brutal. That's not where you break a bone.
He lets out this yell of pain, and I don't know. Do you let go?
No, I take my foot.
Rip his fucking arm off.
Yeah, and then I try with all my might to tear it from its socket.
Yeah,
you need to go to counselling.
Roll another strength check.
Come on. Yes, 22.
Yeah, so you sort of stand up and just give this arm a good put, and you again you sort of feel the shoulder just pop out of place, and he lets out this other like huge scream of pain as the arm just where you can see sort of there's a sort of lump on the inside of his elbow where you see something pressing up on the skin inside, and you just hear this sort of like. As his arm just, and you sort of let go at this point, his arm just flaps down, and the whole crowd has just sort of got their hands over their mouth, just giving a sort of, sort of noise.
Sure if Jefferson was there, he would be throwing up.
A few of the crowd members look a bit queasy on this one, actually. Like,
this isn't, like, they wanted to play for some good old fashioned blood sport, not bone cracking sport.
The Betmaster sort of walks into the ring right really sort of tentatively, and he signals to a couple of the gang members around the side who sort of walk in and sort of carry Mantix off, and his arm is just sort of flopped down by his side as he's sort of past pain, he's sort of whimpering half conscious, and yeah, and the crowd is quite silent actually.
Did any of us bet on that?
No, but Silas sort of turns around and sort of hands you a small pouch with a couple of coins and some notes in. And you quickly look in there, and there's about 50 credits in there. And he says, I think you've had quite enough for one day, friend.
Is that including the 20 that I gave him originally?
Yes.
And that's ridiculous.
And he sort of looks at you and says, I feel like Mantix might be losing his medical deposit.
Next time, give me an able competitor. That's what I say.
The crowd at this point looks like they are fully sated for this blood sport at the moment. and roll a perception check again, both of you two.
That's a 5.
What was that, Mike?
13.
So again, yeah, the crowd sort of dissipates and people sort of go to various places. A couple of them go in the door where people are coming in and out bringing drinks. A couple of them go back to their tables, and a couple of them sort of slink off down the alleyway back to wherever they're going. Back to Jefferson and Ozan. Unless after this, Pax and D4, you want to come over and join them or not. I don't know if you've got other plans.
Yeah, I'll do that whilst putting on my armour back on.
How are you for health after that?
I've got 14. I would have actually had 2. I would have survived that without my boosts. But yeah, I've got 14.
I'm going to use field salve that's 1d4 plus 3. Oh, 6 HP.
Ah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So,
Pax, as you're walking across the courtyard, sort of putting your military jacket on, a Matakai sort of walks up to you as you walk past and says,
"That was a good show. I think you might be something that we might like around here. If you fancy something a bit more grown up rather than for these milk drinkers, come to the bar door over there. Ask for Effie." And he sort of walks off.
Seems legit.
That sounds like a terrible idea. Don't go there. Don't do that.
And with that, back to Jefferson and Ozan.
So we're still there with Malachi?
Melkor.
So what you're saying is we can't cut a bloody sway through the gang.
No, we definitely can't do that.
But you do notice cheers and people sort of looking a bit nauseous coming from the other courtyard, and you do see sort of Pax sort of like walking away with his hands covered in blood.
Oh, he gets to cut a bloody sweat through things.
No, no.
Stop stifling my creativity.
I have no response to this. Just don't kill anyone.
This is bullshit. I never get to do anything I want. Ever since I got these gravity moves.
In defense of Pax, he didn't kill him. He simply disarmed him.
I can maim. I can maim all day.
No one's saying that you're not able to. We're just saying that you can't right now.
You will have this your chance, bullshit. My reptilian friend.
Hang on 1 second, guys. I've being brought a cat.
Oh my goodness. I wish I had that.
Oh.
Yeah. I turn to Melkor. And I'm like, all right, so who do I speak to that's in charge around here?
Your guess is as good as mine. I'm literally here just... I'm just trying to...
What were you hoping to achieve if you don't know who to talk? You are... Okay, I'm beginning to see why your apron business is failing. Very little research. Like, you've not done a lot of market research. You opened an apron store in the middle of fucking nowhere. You come looking for someone not knowing where you're looking. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't like you. I still think you're a great guy. I think you're lovely. You're very pretty. But you need to think shit through a bit more.
I mean,
what? What's the name of this guy
that we're looking for? Oh, yeah. What's your partner's name? Deucey?
Drusso.
I keep getting close.
Is he like your business partner or is he your life partner? What am I asking for here?
He's my life partner would be a... would be an accurate way to describe it.
So he's got a real job.
We're both aproniers.
Hey.
Fuck me.
Apronier is a real job. We need aprons. We asked for an apron as part of the bill.
All right, let's not get caught up on the aprons. Except
back on the aproniers.
All right.
I didn't come here to be judged. And as far as my research for this right here, this right now, this is my research. I came here looking for signs of Drusso, and I stumbled across some.
I hold my finger up to his lips and go, shh, 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 shh. We'll take it from here, sweet Melkor.
I thank you. He sort of puts his hand up, sort of towards the sort of side of your head. So very slowly he puts his hand up to the side of your head and just...
I bring my head back a little bit.
He says, may I, please?
It depends what you're doing. What are you doing? What's this? What are you doing now?
I was just going to show you Drusso so you knew who you were looking for.
Oh, right, cool. Like, you can do telepathic stuff.
Maybe he has a photo.
He reaches into his pocket. He puts his hand to the side of your head and your mind fills with these images. And all of a sudden you see the face of another Kesh, who is quite thin and grey skin, but with very bright red lips. His eyes are entirely black with no discernible pupils or irises to speak of. He's laughing and he's looking at you with a look of real love. And you feel a strong love back towards this Kesh as if it was someone who you'd known for a long time. And you instantly feel a really deep bond with this Kesh, this Drusso, who you're seeing for the first time, but at the same time it feels like you've known him for years. And after a much shorter time than it feels like you've almost spent years with Drusso, but after about 5 seconds, Melkor lifts his hand from the side of your head and you snap back into the busy courtyard. And again, you hear the noise and the bustle of all the people around you.
So do I still feel like I love Drusso?
No, but you remember the feeling.
So I'm still like super into finding him.
Yeah, it's not like it's influenced you in a way that will change your behaviour, but you have a strong sense of empathy with Melkor. So you basically, he sort of let you experience those feelings for a short amount of time. And he sort of looks at you and says, that's him.
I mean, he's just swell.
I know.
Are you okay? It feels like he did something incredibly intrusive.
And I just put my hand on my chest and like my eyes fill with tears. You know, guys, that was like... If I could love someone like that, I feel like I'd maybe... No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. Yeah, we'll find him. That's cool.
I'd be eternally grateful, thank you. And his eyes are sort of welling up slightly.
I feel like are we having a moment here?
Let's go.
All right, let's go into the cake parlor.
As robot and reptile, I'm deeply uncomfortable with all this.
100% uncomfortable.
You're sat in a room full of feelings that you can neither understand nor reciprocate.
Nor want.
or even replicate.
Okay, let's go inside the cake parlor. Melkor, Malachi, whatever your name is, we'll find Druso. Oh yeah, I actually lean back out. Can mine be monogrammed?
If you find Druso, then absolutely I will. I'll craft you an apron such as Peloton has never seen.
I turn back to him and say, you're just a sweetheart.
He blushes and slightly. Then
I stroke his face inappropriately.
He looks a bit taken back, a bit like when you touch a cat on the face. So as you walk in to the cakes parlour, you enter a very different feeling atmosphere. The floor is panelled with cheap laminate walnut wood, and the wall is sort of occasionally dotted with candle bulbs in plastic and brass-coloured sconces that are flickering ever so gently. There's a sort of red carpet runner leading off into a larger room at the very end of the corridor, and on your right is a small wooden door.
I kind of want to walk down the red carpet, guys.
Shall we walk down the red carpet just for a second in like silence and pretend that people are adoring us?
Sounds good.
I wave at the walls.
You walk down the corridor to the end of the room, and the room opens wide into what looks like a bit like a sort of drawing room. There's several sort of chaise longues around the room on which sit various men and women sort of wearing very little clothing other than underwear, sort of ornate jewellery and the sort of occasional lace glove. And as you enter, a large ashen forge walks out of the back room and looks you up and down. They're sort of quite gruff-mannered, but very bizarrely dressed from what you've seen. It's wearing a strange yellow dress, which sort of barely passes their waist, and it's covered in beads that dangle down and shiver every time they move. And there's a string of pearls around the neck, with a red band and a feather stuck in it on the forehead. And it's all topped off with a pair of combat boots, with a sort of cigarette on a long sort of holder. This Ashenforge comes up to you, looks you up and down, then turns to D4, and then looks back at you, the rest of you. Yeah.
You are so...
Druso?
Huh? No?
No, Druso's a Kesh. Sorry about him. What I was going to say is you are super pretty. Or handsome. I don't know, like...
Thanks.
Choose your adjective. Like, it's fine. Huh?
Just well. It makes me feel good.
You know what? And you look great.
It makes you look good.
Thanks. How can I help you, gentlemen?
We've got some inquiries about missing peoples that we're not quite sure who to go to. This seemed like a building that we could come into, so we came into it.
Welcome to Cakes Parlor. My name's Cakes. I am the proprietor of this establishment. For a fee, we can take all your troubles away.
I mean,
this is where we get the cakes.
No, my name is Cakes, and this is my boudoir. If you will.
But it says Cakes on the sign.
Yeah, Cakes, okay. That's me. This is Cakes Parlour. This is a parlour. My name is Cakes. Welcome to Cakes.
We can still do some eating in here then.
Now I have a problem.
Let me just clarify where the apostrophe is.
The apostrophe has to the S. My name is Cakes. This is my parlour. Welcome to Cakes Parlour.
How can you didn't benefit from a classical education. I don't understand.
All right.
Takes a drag on his cigarette. And sort of taps it out on the floor.
So we're looking for two people. One's called Druso. He's
well,
a cash.
Well, two people will cost you extra, but... No,
I realise I very heavily understand that this is a brothel. Don't get me wrong.
Whoa. I never said anything.
This is a brothel.
All right. This is your boudoir. It's your flesh emporium. That's fine.
We sell companionship, not flesh, sir.
All right, it's your friendship emporium with benefits.
There are many benefits if you get the platinum membership, sir. We have a stamp system.
I kind of feel like you're like a computer game NPC, and you have you basically can only try and sell me companionship with air quotes. What I want to know is, I'm looking for a guy called Druso. He's a Kesh. He's from around this town. He's gone missing. Don't know much else.
We see a lot of Kesh around here.
I'm sure you... All right, okay. And the other person we're looking for landed in an escape pod fairly recently. And, do you know who I should go to for questions about that? Can I talk to you about that? Or will you just try and sell me companionship?
Well, if you're in the market for companionship...
Oh, my good God.
Who runs this town?
Who? Well, that'd be Shine Top.
Shine Top.
Aye.
Where can we find him?
Is he bald?
He is actually. Yeah. I never put two and two together on that one.
It's all falling into place, boys.
Funny how these things sort of drop into place when someone mentions you. You never really thought about it. 14 years I've been here. That's never made a connection in my brain.
So are you a cake?
No, my name is Cakes.
Going on that basis.
Where are the cakes?
Well, I'm very sweet, and for the right price, I can be kind of squishy, and I'm not going to finish that sentence.
No more elaborate metaphors. I am a simple crocodile. I want it baked good.
Where can we find Shiny Top or Shine Top or Sparkle Head?
Shine Top doesn't come round here very often. He'll be at his... he has a mansion sort of in town, but... nobody gets in there without permission.
How would we get permission?
Well,
I walk out the room. I'm bored.
Does he ever order in companions?
Are you in the looking for business?
I mean,
you look like a strapping young lad. I reckon I could find you a suitable buyer.
He can pull a man's arm right off. Think of what he can do to the rest.
Oh, I like the style.
Does Shine Top like Prometheans or crocobots or nerds?
Shine Top has...
Doesn't like humans.
He's more got a penchant for the old violence, really. That's what sort of... That's his bread and butter.
Did someone say violence?
I mean, that we have in ample supply.
At last, I draw my sword again.
Whoa, this is a place of love, not violence.
And I love violence!
Who's Effie? Is Effie around here?
Effie? I'm surprised you know that name. Effie runs the bar downstairs. How do you know that name?
I'd rather not say.
I've said too much. I should probably go back to business. And... Cake sort of turns to the right and starts wiping a table, but there's no cloth in the hands, just literally wiping their palm over a table, trying to look busy.
Occasionally looking over his shoulder at us, like, are you still there?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Except not at me, because I'm not in the room, I left.
If you do want to hire one of the entertainers, that's absolutely fine, then please let me know, but otherwise I feel like I have overstepped the mark already.
When you say he's into violence, what do you mean? Like, he kind of... He's into violence in a weird way, or he likes a boxing match?
Sort of sighs. Ugh. Right. Shine Top likes watching other people dismember other people for sport. That's the long and short of it.
He's just missed an excellent game.
That was my old job.
I show him my knuckles. Hey, look.
Yeah, well, right. If I tell you what you want to know, will you please leave my establishment of love and companionship?
Almost certainly.
Effie manages the bar downstairs. That's where we have it's more of a members club, per se. And that's where we manage the proper fights, if you will. But sometimes there are proper fights at Shine Top's mansion. That's the champions from the members club often get invited up there to fight for their freedom or for money or just for the prestige of not being fed to the dogs.
So are you telling me that we need to fight our way through the fights here in order to fight our way up to the big house, and then we can fight our way to Shine Top, and then we can keep fighting Shine Top, and then we kill everyone?
I'm not saying you have to fight anyone. I'm just telling you the facts. Maybe you can, I don't know, join the gang or something and or persuade your way in, or I don't know, but it's nothing to do with me.
I've been through that before when I accidentally joined both the Crips and the Bloods in the same weekend. The paperwork alone.
Cakes goes back to, like, wiping the table with their bare hand.
Well, off to murder. Bye!
Let's go downstairs to Effie's bar.
We're on plan B, baby!